and Ethan and I experienced this on Wednesday night because we preached at COC to unbelievers. And at the moment we walked by these unbelievers, I didn't feel any boldness. But as soon as I opened my mouth, I just took these guys to task. It was six guys. I just taken these guys to task. It was like, man, I'm appointed to do this. This is what my calling is, you know? I'm a herald of the new covenant, man. These guys have no standing with God. They got a false hope. They fear the CHP more than the God of the universe. They fear the IRS more than the God of the universe. They fear rejection by a chick more than the God of the universe. These guys have their priorities absolutely backwards. I mean, we just took these guys to task. Man, when you give it full strength, guys, we've got a domesticated God in so many of our churches today. It's a domesticated God. He's been defanged. What's going to move people to be astounded in awe? Here's what's going to move them. The God of the universe, who can look you into hell, has moved heaven and earth to bring you to Him. The God of the universe, who can look you into hell, just a look, and forever you're in flames, He moved heaven and earth to bring you to Himself. And so that has to move you so mightily, intensely. Well, I think the way we're going to wrap this up today, the way you sanctify the rebuilt temple, there's this cleansing ceremony called Ashes of a Red Heifer. Do you know the Ashes of the Red Heifer ceremony? I don't get the feeling they're going to sacrifice again during the tribulation. Well, you can't have a sacrificial system without the Ark of the Covenant. And if the Ark of the Covenant is not recovered, they're not going to dare to create a Holy of Holies with no Ark of the Covenant. Well, sacrifices weren't carried out in the same way then. They must have been carried out in a different way. There's no Ark of the Covenant to splatter with blood. See, the whole Finney revivalist tent sawdust trail movement was designed to work up enthusiasm. It was an emotional enthusiasm movement. And in some ways, that's because they didn't believe that the gospel was the resident power of God was in the gospel. I mean, Romans 1, 16 and 17, the gospel is the power of God. And so what's missing in our preaching is the transcendent vision of God. That's what's missing in our preaching. The transcendent vision of God is what's missing in our preaching. If God can be, you know, preached the way He really is, as Spurgeon and Whitfield did, then you got a whole different situation going on. So without that, you need seekerism, consumerism, signs, and wonders. And so all those things, seekerism, consumerism, signs, wonders, and marketing, these are all attempts to make up for not preaching a transcendent vision of God. It's all designed to make up for that. CEO, top-down church growth movement model. Yeah, it's all about validation rather than the radical, awe-inspiring exhibition of who Christ is. I mean, that ought to be the goal. Exhibit Christ so that your hearers are lost in wonder, love, praise, and repentance. Exhibit Christ so they're lost in wonder, love, praise, and repentance. Exhibit Him to that degree. Let me read these last two paragraphs to you, this might inspire more discussion. The glorious nature of the new covenant is that it unveils our faces to behold the glory of God in Christ. That's the theme of 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. The new covenant breaks into our dilemma as sinners and confers a status upon us irrespective of our spiritual qualifications. Thus, Christ's work secures all the blessings of the new covenant for the elect. The possession of the new covenant status and the bestowal of its required response are given to us as gifts. We are beneficiaries in the new covenant. This is all of sovereign grace. The gospel of the new covenant comes bringing the required response to sinners dead in their sins. It brings the gift of faith. The gospel is the power of God to bring the ability to comply with the conditions of life offered in the new covenant. Sam Waldron, commentary on the Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. Christ is now our meeting place with God. He brings us past the veil all the way into the Holy of Holies. Our response to God is to be one of loyalty and consecration. And for one of the names of the new covenant is the everlasting covenant, Jeremiah 32. That means that God is in this for the long run. Christ, our Lord and Savior, is forever joined to our human nature that He might bring us all the way to God. We are complete in Him, perfectly conformed to Him, and that He might be firstborn among many brethren. This is the glory story unfolded in the new covenant. The law came with the curse. That's why when these men walked between the severed animals, they were bringing a curse on themselves, Jeremiah 32. So they said, all that you've commanded we will do. And then they cut the animals and they walked between the animals and said, if we should fail to obey the law, let all the curses of the law come upon us, described in Deuteronomy 28. So open your Bible a second to Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13 says that Christ became the curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. Christ became the curse of the law, that the free grace offered in an unconditional covenant might come to us. The law was a conditional covenant. Obey me and live. Obey me and be blessed. Abrahamic was an unconditional covenant. How do you get from a conditional to an unconditional covenant? Christ became the curse. He is the source of the covenant transfer, the kingdom transfer. He became the curse. So that means the penalty of death and damnation and separation from God, the penalty of wrath, Christ bore all of that when he was crucified. He became that curse of the law, so the curse would be lifted off of us, and we would be in a place of blessing. It's just too amazing. Transferred from cursing to blessing because Christ, our substitute, bore the curse. So guys, I'm challenging you to read this document when you get home. So you invite him to church, you're basically saying, I'm not a priest. Our pastor's a priest. You want to meet the priesthood? Yeah. Come to church. Hey, you guys are the priesthood. The priesthood takes place in your living room, in your backyard, on the racquetball court. You are the priesthood. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you're the unveiled beholder of glory. If you're an unveiled beholder of glory, then you are so excited about the new covenant, you can't wait to tell your friends. What if John MacArthur said, hey, leave your unbelieving friends at home. Bring them into your living rooms and talk about the new covenant. I mean, the seeker movement is this grotesque adaptation to try to do the work of the Great Commission in your church building rather than in the highways and byways. Well, praise God, brother. I've really enjoyed this study.